Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Welcome to our show. This week, we're going to be interviewing Gene Bronkowski. He's been investing in real estate since 1987. Gene's a licensed real estate broker with Keller Williams. He's been involved in over 450 transactions personally, and he's a national trainer for Keller Williams, literally having trained thousands of real estate agents and investors, proven models and systems for buying and selling real estate. So, Gene, we welcome you.
Hey, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Keller Williams, been around for about 20 years and exploded in the last three or four. What made that happen?
You know, the numbers are pretty amazing because in 1997, we had 3,248 agents, and as we approach mid-2007, we're up to 96,000 agents, or 76,000 agents, I'm sorry, 76,000 agents. So the growth has been phenomenal.
Why did that happen?
You know, I would just quote Gary Keller, and you know, Gary believes, and he said that his conviction is that the company needs to work for its people and not the other way around. So he felt that if we focused on treating people right, they would build the company beyond his wildest dreams, and that's proven to be the case.
I was in an office speaking to Keller Williams agents, and I noticed that there were a lot of things on the wall about training and teamwork and even sort of a set of ideals that they followed. So is that part of what's attractive to agents to be associated with that?
Really, you know, the company's pretty remarkable, and I think it starts with our culture, which is led by our CEO, Mo Anderson. She's a remarkable, incredible human being, and we really focus on remaining the number one company in education and training for our realtors, and we base the foundation of that on our culture, and we have a remarkable profit-sharing program, and that's what's built our company to number four in North America.
Okay, profit sharing and real estate companies, that sounds unique. Is that unusual?
It's unusual as far as I know, and our model obviously is working because that's one of the key components that drives agents to choose to make a move to Keller Williams. One of the really powerful things for me about that is that once you've been with our company 3 years, and I've now been with the company 3.5 years, we're vested. So the profit sharing that we share, we get for the rest of our lives, and we're able to will that to our families.
So I know the name multi-level might have a negative connotation, but in essence, what you're saying is that's how the residual income occurs?
No.
Okay. Well, straighten me out on that.
I'm glad you asked that question because a lot of people, for some reason, assume that we're some type of a multi-level marketing company.
It was actually told me today that from someone that worked at the company.
Not true.
Okay.
So they just don't understand how it works. Because here's the thing.
Okay.
If we're multi-level marketing and I got Bruce to join our company, then that would assume that every time you sell a home, I get a piece of that pie.
Correct.
Not the case.
Okay.
And because each of our market centers are owned, they're separate franchises, I might get someone that's excited about Keller Williams that joins the company in Idaho. Well, for me to really profit share, that office would have to profit share. And that particular agent would also have to produce. So agents that don't produce sales in our company do not profit share in that given month.
I see.
So it's really driven toward production. It's driven toward equality. And, you know, it's an awesome retirement plan. Because multi-level marketing would also assume that I would continue to need to build a kind of that narrow downline.
Correct.
And we're not like that at all.
Okay. I noticed that you currently have some 120 courses available for agents to take. Is there some type of educational process where they go systematically through that in an orderly fashion?
You could. You could go systematically through it. What we find is when we do an analysis of each agent and their business, people have different strengths and different needs. And I think the beauty of our educational system, here's a perfect example. One of the biggest challenges we always have as real estate professionals is building a team so we can leverage ourselves. And part of that problem is we don't hire well as agents. We don't know how to hire. And then when we hire somebody, we don't train them. Mm-hmm. With our company, when you hire a personal assistant, we have a 365-day training program online, and should we be so inclined, we can send them to our corporate headquarters in Austin and actually have them trained through all the systems that are already built and the models that are already in place at Keller Williams.
Okay. In an interview with a prospective agent, what would sound off an alarm and eliminate that person from being a Keller Williams agent?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, that really is a great question, and I always love having that interview with agents. Everything has to be a good fit, and our culture's win-win. So agents that might not be a good fit would be those that maybe they're not producing real, real well, and they're way, 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 way too focused on what their split is with a broker, and they can't see the big picture.
Okay.
So if they're in a mode of their business, and they're not striving to really team build and build a massive, awesome real estate career, and or trying to build a reasonable team with reasonable goals, Keller Williams might not be the right fit for them.
Now, I've heard you use the word team a number of times, and I'm getting that this is not the other agents in the office, but agents that are going to become the star Keller agent, Keller Williams agents of the future, have a team of assistants. Is that true?
It is true.
Okay.
In real estate, I think that term team is loosely used.
Okay.
And what I have found with Keller Williams is we have the only model that financially supports a team.
Okay.
In that the way that the brokerage fees are broken and split between people make it advantageous for agents at any level to join a team. And at the same point, it creates longevity in that team concept.
Does Keller Williams prefer new agents or established agents?
I guess from a preference standpoint, what we look at is really where do people want to take their business?
Okay.
So naturally, we do have new agents that join our company. We're not out in very many markets generating come to our free real estate licensing school. We do that a little bit, but our main focus is to make sure that we get the cream of the crop, even for those individuals that are newer agents. Most of the agents that choose to join our company have a lot of experience.
Okay, that would make sense. What do you find is the biggest hurdle for most agents? What's the biggest hurdle they have to overcome to be successful in today's market?
I think it's the same hurdle that a lot of real estate investors have to overcome. We went through, a 6-year period of time where whether you were a real estate agent or you were an investor, you could make a buying or selling decision that maybe wasn't the perfect decision, but the market bailed you out.
Correct.
And in doing that, it's easy to not learn to become a professional, to not take the steps in education that continue to move you toward mastering. You could get by without knowing the right script. You could get by without studying your market. You could get by without knowing the statistics. You could get by without listening to the changes and the trends in the market.
A lot of people that were just introduced into the business the last 6 years have that MO, I guess, because that's the only real estate market they've experienced is something that worked very easily.
Great question. So how do you think that's going to affect their career?
I think it's going to be a learning curve. I think they're going to have to learn that real estate sometimes goes the other way, and they can still figure it out. They can still make a good living. Here's an interesting question, and I feel like I understand an answer for myself, but let's suppose that we think that real estate is going to go sideways or down for the next 3 or 4 years. Why would somebody buy a home?
So your question is, in a market where the trend continues to be moving downward, what would the motivation be for someone to purchase a home?
Right. I feel like I understand myself why I would, but I'm asking you, yeah, what in general how do agents feel about that, and how do they feel, how do they feel good about selling a product that may go straight for a while?
There you go. Well, and that's another great question, because when we look at the real estate industry as a whole, I think what every real estate professional has to ask themselves, number one, is what is my company doing to help? What is my company doing that's not only going to assist my sellers and assist my buyers, but assist me in understanding the market trends and how to make that fit?
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, what we teach our realtors with Keller Williams is that they're, you know, if someone is moving into the area and they're buying a home for their family, and it's the perfect home and it's in the neighborhood that they want to be, and they see themselves being there for a long time, the pros that I would put to that is interest rates are still great. And if you're going to be in a home for quite a while, and you can take advantage of these lower interest rates today and favorable terms and pricing for buyers, this would be a good time to buy. If you're going to buy to fix and flip, or you're going to buy short time, probably renting in Southern California is the best deal.
Yeah, I agree. And, I, you know, there's emotional reasons, definitely, to own a property. And today when I spoke to the Keller Williams office in Riverside, talked about mine. I was, you know, I was 17. I got married very young. I had a tough start where I got fired a bunch of times. And lo and behold, at age 23, I find myself having saved enough money to put up a down payment on a house. And when I closed escrow on Friday and got to mow my own grass on Saturday, I literally felt like I had gone from being a kid to being a man. It was a great transition. And that sometimes occurs for people, is that they really think of home ownership as kind of a birthright of being an American. And it is.
No question.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
How did you get into real estate? You said in the when I introduced you, you were an investor, and that's not usually the connective tissue with a real estate agent. And most real estate agents, I don't think, are investors first, or even maybe ever.
Well, my draw to real estate was probably the same as most people's draw to real estate. I had purchased some property, owned some rentals, benefited from working with some really great realtors in South Orange County, but quite frankly, it looked to me like their job was easy. They drove great cars. They always had a lot of money. And I thought I would have lots of freedom that went along with that. So the draw was, wow, that looks pretty easy. I think I'll go get my real estate license. And my original goal was to do a commercial, but I quickly found that I did not enjoy that and actually loved working with families. But the draw was for all the assumptive reasons of wealth and freedom of time.
Okay. Now, is this something that you, are you sort of a buy and hold person? Do you personally, you hold some properties?
I think from an investing standpoint, you know, I spend a lot of time talking with investors that have made mistakes.
Okay.
And what I have found is, of course, they use the same models and systems that bailed them out early in this decade.
Mm-hmm.
And when they applied them in 2005, they went from being brilliant to not so smart.
That's true.
So my focus on investing is always really developing an exit strategy first, is really realizing why am I buying the property and where do I see that property making sense for me. Is it something that I could do, a quick rehab? Could I improve the property and perhaps sell it and make some cash flow? Or is it a buy and hold strategy? And I think that changes dramatically based on what market you're looking at.
I've heard the phrase a go zone quite often. Can you describe what that, what is a go zone?
Pretty exciting. We're doing a project in Biloxi, Mississippi, and I flew to Biloxi to meet my partner there, Dave Irwin. And Dave had done $95 million in investor transactions in the year 2005 along the Florida coast. But as that market kind of shifted, he looked for another opportunity. So to make a long story short, I went to Biloxi. I spent 3 days there, learned a whole lot about the area, a whole lot about the kind of the devastation of the hurricanes that were there, met with city officials, met with builders. And to make a very long story short on that, everything that you heard about those areas really wasn't exaggerated. What we saw on television was real life. And it's been a challenge recovering. So the government has set up many, many different tax incentives so that individuals like ourselves will take some of the equity that we have and rebuild those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Thus called the government zone, kind of along that hurricane corridor from Katrina.
And is the go zone, does it has tax benefits as far as write-offs that are accelerated? Is that correct?
Yes, and you know, and I would always advise someone to make sure they talk with their individual tax person when they're looking at those benefits.
Sure.
So I have the kind of the quick outline on it. There's no question that if you are qualified as a real estate investor, where you spend more of your time and you make more of your money from your real estate investment, that those tax benefits are greater than they would be for the average person investing there.
Okay.
Now, we just found out a new program last week, and it's one of those programs that's hard to believe. You can buy a property today in Biloxi, Mississippi, pre-construction, with less than $15,000 out of your pocket. You have $15,000 built in equity, and the government will give you a $30,000 grant if you commit to holding that as a rental property for 5 years.
And the grant is in what type of a format? A check?
Or they do it in three installments, so you get a third of it at the close of escrow, and I believe a third in 1 year and a third in 2 years. There's an application that you have to fill out to qualify.
What's the price range of the home?
These homes are priced at $119,000 to $135,000.
So they're literally willing to rebate 25% of the value of that property if you hold it for 5 years.
That's right.
You're right. That's a good deal.
That's a good deal.
That's a good deal. Wow. Okay. I'm almost stunned, and that's bad for a talk show host.
But, you know, sometimes in life, and that's true, sometimes when something's too good to be true, you still have to take a look at it. And here's the cool thing about that is my partner Dave Irwin with Keller Williams is handling that project personally. So he's done the lot surveys. He purchases a lot. He oversees the building of it. They're right there in that part of the Gulf Coast. And if you visit that area, you will see that very well could be the next Atlantic City. So when Donald Trump's buying 25 acres for his new casino, and 25 new casinos are going up, and you already have 35,000 FEMA trailers in the area, you know that you have a serious housing shortage, not to mention how many people are going to be employed there and where are those people going to live.
That's very true. What is a typical rent for that price of home, just in ballpark?
If you the numbers that we're running is if you use an interest-only loan with that 10% down, you're going to have a little bit of cash flow. So it looks like the rents will be in the $950 to $1,050, depending on which property you would purchase.
Well, I mean, again, I'm a numbers guy. So 5 years is 60 months, and 60 months I get $30,000 back. That's $500 a month credit. Is that correct?
That's quick math, but it's correct.
Yeah. I guess that'll improve your cash flow right there.
I think so.
Okay. I'm not trying to sell the project, but I'm excited about that math being true. That's really a good deal.
It's a unique situation. They had 16% appreciation in 2006. Even if you use conservative appreciation, the return's pretty outstanding.
Just a question in general for the business. How do you think the public views real estate agents? And is that part of the reason Keller Williams has gone to a great extent to make sure they have a code of ethics, if you will?
I think that the public's perception of real estate agents is deserved. I think the public sees real estate agents as a dime a dozen. It's hard for them to distinguish between one or the other. And in most cases, I think that experience that they have is true, in that the person provides a service as a salesperson, but they really don't wow the customer. Our philosophy is real simple, is we really truly don't just take this term as some flagrant term. We build consultants into our business, and we have people that have a passion to come from the direction of contribution to try to overcome that perception of what real estate agents are about. So we really look at our company as real estate consultants.
It seemed today when I was there that I sensed a different flavor and a pretty good intent, and that felt very good. It really did. If you've watched the market change, what would you say to a seller that said, you know, I just think because the price has gotten a little soft, I'll save the money and I'll sell the house myself?
Well, the question that I would ask, and actually I could ask an investor that same question. I get that question asked all the time. Somebody says, well, Gene, I've bought an investment property 70 cents on the dollar, and, you know, I'm really excited about that. I always ask, well, how are you going to sell it? how are you going to sell the property when currently, and I'll use Orange County as an example, there's an 11-month inventory of homes for sale.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to sell that property by yourself when the condo market, that $400,000 entry-level market, has completely stalled? So where's that move-up buyer going to come from? How are you going to save money by trying to compete against the other 40,000 homes for sale, and you're just trying to do it on your own? And then we take the second part of that is, you know, in today's world, a real estate professional is a lot about lawsuit avoidance. If you want to take that legal liability on your own and think that you can flawlessly handle those contracts and flawlessly handle those disclosures, I think you're taking an awful lot of risk on. So if I'm selling a home, I'd like to sell it and move and not be dealing with it anymore.
What's the odds of me as a private seller getting the same price as an agent that exposes it the different ways that agents do and the MLS?
The statistics are that for sale by owners, ultimate usually end up selling for less.
So they didn't save a dime, they just had the exercise of selling a property.
Well, think about it. If you're a buyer out in the marketplace and you know that, you know, some people are saying this is a buyer's market. I would say it's a completely undefined market because very few people are buying. So if it's a buyer's market, why aren't people just running up and you know, making offers on these properties? Why is the inventory growing? Having said that, buyers feel that it is a buyer's market. So when they see somebody that is doing a for sale by owner deal, they already know that that person's hoping to improve their net by not paying a real estate agent. So they expect to share in that.
That's correct.
Right. And if you're like me, when I go negotiate for myself on a new car,
mm-hmm.
I don't negotiate real well for myself. It's a lot easier for me to negotiate on someone else's behalf because I'm not emotionally tied into the results.
Yeah, I think that's true. We delegate that, just offer them this and see what happens. How are the agents in general coping with a market that really has changed and slowed down? I mean, I would imagine, I look at the statistics for California, Riverside, down 47%. That must mean that a lot of people are making half as much money. So are people leaving the business, or are they finding different ways to cope?
The good agents in our business, I think, see this as a good thing. They see it as an opportunity to regain market share that they lost. They are out learning more. They're spending more money on education. They're getting more technology savvy. They're making sure that they understand their market and all the statistics. They know what absorption rate is. They understand that in today's market, the seller needs to know that there's 15 sellers for every buyer. So the only person that's going to sell a home is a really motivated seller. The rest of those sellers will remain the highest bidder on their home. And it's the same for buyers. If they're working with buyers, they know that the good properties are selling quickly. So if a buyer ties up with the wrong agent that doesn't understand value and just drives around looking at homes, they're going to miss the good buys because the good buys are sold quickly. So at the end of the day, I guess to answer your question, realtors that are passionate about real estate and see their business as a career, they don't see it as today or tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
They see it 10 years forward, are in love with this market and are embracing it and are capturing market share. And a large percentage of those people, I'm proud to say, are Keller Williams agents.
Absolutely. I really was impressed with the company today. Gene, we've pretty much run out of time. I'd like to have you share a phone number. People are interested in getting a hold of you and asking more questions. Would that be okay?
That's kind. Thank you.
Sure. What is the number?
Best number to reach me would be area code 909-337-5218. 909-337-5218.
Okay. Well, Gene, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. I learned some things about your company that I did not know, and now people know what a Go Zone is, too.
Yeah, they know what a Go Zone is. Bruce, thank you so much. It's really a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you soon.
Okay, Gene, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com. or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com. We'll see you next week at 5:30 here on News Talk 590. KTIE.